Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for those who are on. Look forward to maybe getting to know some of you better. And my story has, it's really, we had a lot, I had a lot of challenges, but from the time I was a young child, I'd had a very unhappy childhood. I'd been molested. My mother didn't believe me when I was six. And then she took me to a funeral when I was about eight. Now, I heard how happy that man was after he'd been on the other side in peace of mind. So from then on, I'm very practical. I just wanted to die and go to that place where I believed there could be an unearned peace. So all through the rest of my life, I just wanted to give up and not be here. So throughout the life, as I said, and giving up and not going to, wanting to go to school, but then finding out how much you need to learn when you go to school, I became interested and started becoming a sponge for learning. But as I was older and still, no matter whatever I did, and the happiest times I could do, I learned how to learn while you sleep. Every night you go to sleep, your conscious mind goes to sleep. The subconscious is awake and can reprogram thinking. So I became very positive, very confident, did a lot of things. But at the very top of whatever I was doing did not seem as nice as being able to go to that place with an unearned peace. So I became ill. I had bleeding down the back of my head. The doctor couldn't find out where it was from. I had repeated pneumonia. I was allergic to all the antibiotics. And this was in 1981, 1982, 83. And then they did the test and found that I had the rheumatoid arthritis. And my white blood count was so low, he told me I was going to be dying. Well, I was more thrilled than if anyone else would have won the lottery ticket. I wasn't going to have to kill myself.
Dr. Brown?
Yes.
They would like you to speak a little louder.
Okay.
If you can, or move the microphone closer.
All right. I can speak up louder. Okay. Did they need me to repeat any of that? But when I was so ill and had been bedridden, rheumatoid arthritis, then they did the test that found my white blood count was so low, they told me I was going to be dying, and I was more thrilled than someone else would have been if they won tickets to the lottery. And so one morning I woke up and I was even sicker. Now, in my book, I have a picture of what it looked like. My granddaughter took it before I died, as a day or two before, and I got even a little sicker. But I wanted to ask for just enough time to get my burial arrangements done. Now, if I'd have known what was going to happen, I probably would have gone to a different part of the house. But I dragged myself into the bathroom to just slump over the tub to be able to be in a reverent position to ask for a little more time. Forming the thoughts in my mind, I all of a sudden heard a voice that said, "Oh no, if you come, you come now." And I was up and out of my body looking down on it. I was a wispy being. I'd never seen myself other than in a mirror or something like that before. And it was quite an experience. And there was many things that just passed through my mind. One of the main things is I had a life review, but absolutely realized I was on the other side. I didn't have my body anymore. And instead of being glad to have it gone, I knew I couldn't even pick up a piece of paper without my body. When I had the life review and saw things that happened between me and others, as an example, I used to be very big into justice. I thought all you had to do was find out who was right or wrong, and some great justice took place. But what I discovered while I was on the other side was that I saw things from my point of view, other people's point of view, and God's point of view, which was totally different. It was just amazing to be able to see the difference. I also saw that if, like running a race, if I would have given up running the race and taken a shortcut, I could not have won the prize. So there's a purpose for living, for making it through problems and staying. And but I had given up and it was terrible for me. I had an extensive near-death experience where I saw many things on the other side. I saw some of my posterity, that they would have problems because I'd had problems. There were just many things that I saw that are in the book. And I look forward to talking with people, answering questions. But I was begging to come back to life, to have another chance. I promised that if I had another chance, I would tell everyone who would listen the importance of life and limited earth time. While I was over there, also there was a flood of knowledge that came. We don't have to use our voices to speak. It just been thought. And there was just like a three-dimensional experience of everything, of how important it is. Our pets do make it to the other side, and they can communicate. So people who have not been very kind to pets here will be surprised over there that they can talk about it. So there's many things that I learned. The importance of family. And I wanted to communicate with the family. I wanted to tell them how important Earth time is. But anything that is not written is not written. Anything that's not said is not said. I was shown the importance of family, of keeping a journal, which is a legacy about our lives. The importance of life to learn and grow from problems instead of giving up from them. And the importance of one of the things that I had learned is like we want to develop muscles, we lift weights. But if we want to develop mental and spiritual muscles, we make it through problems. And it was just, I really appreciate this opportunity to share. And I know that you've had many people who've had near-death experiences in Ions in Utah. And I've followed some of them, and all of them are different as our fingerprints. And it's a privilege to be here and see what I can do to help share, because there's too much give-up-itis in the world. My father committed suicide, which reinforced my view of thinking as I looked at his steel gray casket, thinking I just wanted to die until I had my experience of going to the other side and then finding out how important it is to use the time that we have wisely. And I was shown many different things, that the flood of knowledge that came was fascinating. I could ask any question, it was answered. I know that we will know each other. People all around us were, I believe, we're all at this particular time of the world's history for a reason. And then all of a sudden, as I was begging and pleading to come back because I'd been so ill, I saw a gold crowned tooth. Now, I'd been very happy. I hadn't even had a toothache. But when I saw this big gold crowned tooth, I knew there was something about it, why I'd been so ill. And then I could feel my face. I wasn't that wispy being anymore, and I was back in my body. Then I dragged myself back to bed and was still just like I was in the other sphere to on Earth. In a few days, I went to my dentist, was driven to my dentist. I told him he had to pull that tooth. And he says, did it hurt? And I said, no. And he took an x-ray. Nothing showed on the x-ray there was anything wrong with that tooth. But I said, it has to come out. And so he had his attorney prepare a paper to take away his liability if he had that perfectly good gold crown tooth pulled, and then made the arrangements. Once that tooth was pulled, you could see, and the dentist showed it to me, it had melted, darkened roots, apparently infected up in the sinuses. But within almost the same day, it was like electrical needles coming out of each pore, and the bleeding down the back of my head stopped within the 24 hours. And in 3 weeks, I was healed with the arthritis, and I was up and going and telling everyone how important it is to make the best of whatever time we have. And then sharing the experience. I've been on television to time to write the books, and then to be able to talk with people who have challenges, because every challenge is an opportunity for learning and growing. But it's a matter of attitude. What can we learn from what happens in our life? And if we can discover and have a true purpose for living, that helps us to make it through the challenges and problems. So can we maybe have some questions or answers and see what people would like to know?
Are you opening it to questions and answers at this time?
Yeah, I'd like to open it to questions and see what people would like to know.
All right, so I have a question. I haven't heard any from the chat yet, but what practices do you have dietary-wise that help you to stay well? I mean, you have ALS, and the standard lifespan for someone with ALS is 4 to 6 years, but you've lived for quite a while and look like you're in fairly decent health. How do you do it?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because I admit that I'm still a recovering junk foodaholic, but trying to take the right supplements and things. But in 1988, when I was about 54, and I had a lot of problems swallowing, and I had problems walking, and a neck brace, a leg brace, ended up being needing a voice board. But I was diagnosed with myasthenia gravis, which is what killed Aristotle Onassis, and also Lou Gehrig's disease. And he says he couldn't do anything for the myasthenia, and I still have some medication I take for that. The difference, by the way, between myasthenia, muscles get weak. With the ALS, the muscles atrophy. And so the doctor sent to Germany for some homeopathy, and I was miraculously healed in 16 weeks, but I was confirmed by three doctors, including a neurologist, that I had the ALS. I'd never heard of it before I was diagnosed. And I thought, well, so I was saved in 1983 with a near-death experience just to die from ALS, but was miraculous. And when I went to the neurologist, because I was in denial, I just couldn't believe I had such a horrible disease. And he said, stick your tongue out. He did all the tests. And he said, stick your tongue out. You'll see you can't hold it still. Then when it quivered all over, I realized I did have the ALS. But I was miraculously healed in 1988. And it's very important. One of the very first things I was told to do was give up meat that has steroids in it, has antibiotics in it, and to be able to just have more of the healthy things. It's really important to take good care of our health. And as to what we eat, what is going to affect us, if too much acid, too much inflammation, it makes a big difference as to how long we live and what quality of life. So I do try to eat more of the alkaline food, stay away from the junk. I'm still, having to get over that, but I try to stay away from sugar, because sugar is one of the worst things that can happen. But as we take care of our health, we will feel better, be able to accomplish more. But another thing that I have found is how important it is to take care of our teeth. Now, I was shown on the other side the importance that can happen with our teeth that's bad. Many people have the fillings in their teeth that have silver and mercury, and they don't realize what that mercury is doing. When the dentist cut my tooth open after it was pulled, he found the gold crown, but on the inside was the silver mercury, which was acting just like a battery in my mouth and just really taking me down. But that's one of the main things, is to be aware of our health and research. Now, when anybody goes online, if they have a problem, put in cure, because we can't really say cure, but put in cure rather than just getting the regular MD version, because there's health things we can do to give the body the right nutrients for our mind, our brain, and I have overcome a lot of challenges. Now I'm very thrilled that I can be here to help with other people, but they have challenges. And the main thing is to stay here and find answers and to help be a solution versus part of the problem.
Okay. So Don asks, I would like to have more details about the other side.
The other side I've experienced is different as everybody's fingerprints for each person. And so there are others who see the colors, they see everything different, and it's as different as our fingerprints. Now, one of the things when I was over there and I was asking about, what about those who've had a near-death experience come back and it was so nice? And my answer, what I was told, is it depends on what they do until the next time they die, because we all will die. And so that's one of the main things. It's very different for everyone. It was just, for me, it was very upsetting, but I also saw and experienced how the people who are on the other side, if we lose them, I mean, when we lose them, because we're all going to lose them, whether they committed suicide, whatever, they all are trying to get a message to us to let us know how important it is to use our limited earth time wisely. So that's one of the main things I learned, is how important it is to use our limited earth time wisely before we go to the other side, because we will be going there.
Another asks, did you have any indication that there was such a thing as hell?
Yes, I did. But what I believe a lot of hell is, was of our own making, because what I had for the mental and emotional pain was much worse than any of the physical pain I had had with the rheumatoid arthritis. And when I came back with a peace of mind of knowing I had another chance to live, but I don't know all about exactly where it was. I'm sure it's different for each person, but it was terrible for me. And I know that it's different with each person, but I just really wanted to make the most of my time. So as I work with people here, it's to help them to realize using this limited earth time wisely. So I believe the hell, as I said, a good portion of it, we make ourselves. Now I had quite an extensive experience over there, but what everyone's going to have, like I said, it's going to be different for each person. It's interesting and valuable. You put it together, we can learn while we're still here.
So tell everyone exactly how it was that you died and had your near-death experience, and then what you experienced there and how you came back.
Well, as I said, I was very, very ill. I dragged myself into the bathtub to ask for a little more time to get my burial arrangements done when I was told, oh, no, and I was up and out of my body looking down on it. And then very surprised to find that I was in the other world. And there were many things I was shown. I was shown that time, as an example, on the other side, everything is now. You think about it and you can be there. Another thing that I was shown on the other side was about health and medical things. Previous to my going to the other side, I was not interested in natural health of any sort. I was totally only interested in the medical things, the drugs. I had a physician's desk reference I used to look to be able to order the drugs, never paid any attention to side effects. But when I was on the other side, another interesting thing that I saw was clear back, like in George Washington's time, when they were bleeding and thought bleeding was going to heal people, it was still so far from what was going to happen to really give help. And even now, we're still not on the cutting edge. There's more things coming as far as for our health. The natural way of the body healing itself and giving it the right nutrients is the biggest way for us to have our health and well-being, for our memory and taking care of our bodies and our minds. Another thing on the other side, before the other side, I used to be really big into wanting to be thin. I wore a size 5 skirt with an elastic band in it, and I just was really big into just wanting to be thin. But when I was on the other side, another thing I saw that was interesting is fad and fashion, and that used to be a fashion to be roly-poly, and that the main thing is to be healthy, to take care of our health, and it doesn't really matter our weight that much, as being so that we have our energy, our reserve of health, and to take care of our bodies, to be able to stay here. So the day will come when we look back on our lives that we can have satisfaction and peace of mind. That's a big thing, is to have satisfaction and peace of mind. So as I share now, it's how to make certain we enjoy the other side when we get there, because we will be going there.
And here's a question that I might have as well. What if people who are at the end of their life and suffering greatly asking whether or not they should be assisted to pass on.
You know, in that particular case, I have no judgment. I have nothing to say. I do know that the young people who are committing suicide, and they don't look at their first responders, they don't look at the family, what's going to happen. They don't think about who's going to find them. That is just heartbreaking. When somebody's much older, I just have nothing to say. If they're really suffering, I don't believe in prolonging someone's life. And for what reason? So I can't answer that. And I just have nothing to say about that. But for the young people and people who just don't realize what's going to happen when the first responders come and the purpose for living and making it through problems. But on that one, I just leave that up to each individual.
And one asks, could you expand on pets? On pets in heaven, I suppose?
I would love to. Just one sec. Yes, they are. We will see our pets in heaven, and they do communicate. As I said, they can talk, they can communicate. Well, I don't know if talk's the correct word, but you communicate. Everything's known. There's no misunderstanding. I do know that they are there and that we will see them. And whether they're with us or wherever they are, I just know they're there. And then this last year, I had a little service dog that she was injured and I had to put her down. And I have a doggy door with it, a little opener around the neck that would open and close so she could go in and out. And after she was gone for a period of at least 2 weeks, that doggy door would open and close. We could talk. And there were 6 people who knew that she came back. So they do go over there. They do care. And so exactly how much they know or see, I don't know, because they, God is with them. I totally believe in God. I work with people who don't believe in God. And even those who believe in reincarnation, one of the main things that we all do believe in is how important now is. So I would just really like to stress how important now is. But we will see our pets, everything. All of them will be over there at some point. I don't know. I wasn't there all that long, but I was there long enough to know the highlights and the importance of staying here and making it through our problems rather than giving up with them.
Did you see your father or other ancestors?
Another question. I see some of my ancestors, but now, you know, I didn't commit suicide, but I had given up and I was so thrilled to have been on the other side. And I did see ancestors, and there was a turning away of my ancestors because as I was aware of how much they had gone through for me to be permitted to live at this particular time in my life. And there was a turning away. They were very upset, and I was very embarrassed to even be in their presence because I had not even begun to go through the things that they had gone through. And yet I had basically willed myself to die. I know that that was what had happened, and I was so thrilled about dying. And so they'd gone through pretty tough times for me to even have this opportunity on life. So they had turned away, so I didn't really get to know them other than feeling them as a large group. It seemed like they were all individual, but yet it was a large group.
They ask, did you learn how to heal yourself through your doctors or through what you learned on the other side?
Oh, that's an interesting question, because it's kind of a combination between what I learned on the other side and then having some of the top 10 doctors and geniuses in the world. And it's interesting. I think you've probably seen a lot of people who go to the other side come back with certain gifts. And some of the gifts I have is just kind of knowing what to do or what's wrong with someone. I'm not a psychic. I don't want to get into that. But many times it just comes to me what to do for a situation. Now, I did study and learn as a naturopath and learned that we need to do our own healing instead of medications. Because medications, and I'm not telling anyone to get off their medications, except when you have other problems health-wise, look and see what the side effects of the medications you're taking. Because it's my understanding they cannot even patent a drug unless it has a toxic side effect. And so the longer we'll live happier and feeling better is just giving our body the nutrients for the body to grow. But I've learned, and with some of the gifts that were given to me, to just kind of know and to feel what's right. And so I found the answer. Another book I'm working on is what to do before and after the doctor says nothing more can be done, because there are wondrous things out there. And we're going to have more times of coming with more wondrous things coming. We're just still in the beginning of much more technology, information. And as we tune in it, I also discovered there's really no new truth in the world. It was all out there. It's a matter of us tuning in and finding it. So as we tune in and as we find in the right circumstances, the right level of thinking, we can learn enough to be able to have miraculous results for health, for making decisions in life. It's a matter of tuning in, thinking, and using wisdom instead of being down, because as we think, so shall we receive. As we give, so shall we receive. That is another very important thing I found over there. I think I told you I was very big into justice. Thought just all you had to do was find out who was right or wrong. Some great justice took place. What I experienced on the other side is, no, I wanted mercy. But in order to have received mercy, I discovered for myself personally that I would have had to have had someone do something to me in this world and forgive them so I could have received mercy on the other side. After I came back, when I first came back, I said, oh, let someone do something terrible to me so I can forgive them because I want a lot of mercy. I don't have to say that anymore. I had a 6,000 square foot house that I had designed and it went up and built, and arsonist burned it down. And I have to say, the change in my life of knowing what I know. I felt sorry for that arsonist, because when he gets to the other side, he or she, turned out it was he, I did learn later who it did, who it was. But can you imagine to go to the other side and have joy at making other people misery, how miserable? The other side is the real world. This is not the real world. So there are many things here that I'm very glad to have the opportunity to share, so that we can live a better life and enjoy the other side when we get there.
Next question was, how was your relationship with God affected by your NDE?
I love that question, because I absolutely know God is real. God was with me. Now, he is the same, no matter whether they call him higher power, whether they call him God, Lord, Jesus Christ. He is who he is. And I asked him specifically, what about those who call you another name? And the powerful answer came all through my being. I am who I am. So no matter what he is called, he is there. And I do have a relationship. And I love to pray, because I know who I'm talking to. And I enjoy it. I'm not trying to build myself up on anything like that. But if you know who you're talking to, and know that even if it's like a cement ceiling, you don't really feel it. Your prayers do matter. They do count. And I love and treasure the experience. And I just want to stay around longer to be able to reach more people, to let them know his message of how much he loves everyone. There's no particular person. He loves everyone. It's up to us how much we love him. If we love him, we will keep his commandments. I know one of the other things before I went to the other side, I says, oh, there are a lot of things I certainly want to ask God. But while I was on the other side, all I wanted to do was bask in his presence. I there were things I didn't understand, but that was me and my needing to know and learn. But God is real. He loves us. He cares, and he's here for all of us. And as we help others, we will be helped more ourselves.
Well, you didn't commit suicide, but apparently you're very interested in suicide. And so this one question is, about your relationship to suicide and why you're so determined to counteract that.
I am doing all I can to help other people now, because I understand, I relate. It's hard to find somebody who's feeling suicidal that it's not a feeling I had. And I understand, I work with people to help prevent so the first responders don't have a terrible nightmare to get them. But there is a purpose for living. And so I work with people from all stages. And you know, some of the literature, I founded a nonprofit organization, Stress and Grief Relief. And it's a 501c3. We're on the internet at stressandgriefrelief.org. I'm also known as thehopedoctor.org, and try to help bring people hope. But learning for myself the importance and how terrible it is to commit suicide. I mean, it's just really, if they really knew what all it entailed versus making it through problems. So I work with a lot of people. In fact, I have people who tell me they consider me the top expert in the world on helping to prevent suicide, because I was there. And when I work with someone who've had called, they call me on the phone, or that I talk with personally, or I do in groups and messages where we can visit, I just can understand, and things come to me, what people are thinking and feeling, and I understand it, and they know I understand it. We just seem to communicate and know the importance of life and making it through problems. Let me ask you, as an example, let's say there's a bad earthquake, and you have a bad earthquake, and you're free. You weren't trapped under any rubble, but you have family and friends that are trapped under rubble. Do you want to go and leave and let your friends have to try and take care of getting out from under the rubble? Or do you want to stay and help them? This world has a lot of problems and challenges. We're all needed. So if someone they think they're going to go to an unearned peace, as I did, whereas the fact that someone here needs them. And if we'll stick it out and do God's plan, we can have peace of mind when we go to the other side, because there is a purpose for living and for making it through problems. When you go to school, you know that the harder the classes, the more education you get, the more you can do when you're out. And we take with us, we are the same person on the other side. That was an amazing thing to find out. We're the same person. going to the other side didn't bring me happiness. It didn't change who I am. It didn't give me more knowledge. While I was over there, I did have the privilege of having more knowledge and coming back with it. But for the most part, I think Arvin Gibson did a wonderful book on studying people who had gone to the other side. And he found that they all came back with the same feelings, the same emotions, and they were the same person.
So you talk about the purpose of life. This is a question I've had also. What do you think is the purpose of our time on Earth? It may not be a simple answer, but that's the question.
Each of us is needed. We each have our own specific gifts and talents, and it's as different as our fingerprints, why we're here and what we're going to, where we're going to be. I don't know. I know there are many dimensions over there. I really don't know that much about it, except I know that there are many dimensions. But each of us is unique and loved, and we have a purpose. It's just a matter of trying to find the purpose. You know, one of those things, and I appreciate you bringing some of these things up, because right here in front of the camera, it may not be always that easy, but I am very glad to get the message out. But we are each having a purpose, and we have it so great here we don't realize how great we have it. You know, maybe you've heard when you were a child, be sure and eat that. People in the children in China are starving. Well, one of the things I experienced over there is that the difference of how, especially in this country, our great blessings. People have blessings and they don't really realize it. And I saw, like over in Ethiopia, many other countries, they don't have what we have. But if we'll make the most of it, there's always someone around us. There are many hurting people around us that we can help, so that when we get there, we can all have a good time and say, hey, we made it. We made it through. We're not drowning. We're getting over the problems, learning and growing. And, you know, as far as for problems in life, and this is in my first book, I saw this and I probably heard of it, but I experienced this where as if we're in a room and everybody has their own problems and they all put them in a big bag. They throw them in the middle of the room. You know, we would all scramble for our own problems because we all have the gifts and talents to help handle those problems versus someone else's. And anyone who sees they have someone and they think, oh, they haven't had any problems, they really don't know them. I don't know anybody that really gets out of this world without having had some problems, which reminds me, one of the great blessings I've had with all these challenges, rheumatic fever, 100% loss of my balance. At one point I was paralyzed from arms down, overcoming these things, the major back surgeries, all of these things, but learning and growing. And we learn from problems. And people have asked me, why do you think you have so many problems? Because losing most of my vision, all of the different things I've had. And what I know from being on the other side, I have so many problems because I am very blessed, because we learn and grow from problems. And if everything's the same all the time, we don't learn and grow from them. So learning from problems, I believe, is a great blessing. Now, I would just as soon not have as many, but that's not up to me to say. But anyone I can help along the way, that's what we're all here for, is to learn to be merciful, loving, kind, and even on the freeways. In fact, when people get on the freeway, sometimes they become like a whole different person. What if there's an angel in the backseat taking notes?
So, Dr. Brown, you were a good person, and you tried your best before you had this experience, but when you were in turmoil on the other side, why was that? Explain a little bit more about why you had such a rude awakening on the other side.
Because we're the same person over there, we are here, and I expected it to be totally different. I was expecting a free lunch. I was expected to be totally happy, and I didn't know I was going to have a life review. I didn't know my ancestors and realize that they had gone through worse things than me. And I didn't realize those things. And by seeing that and actually feeling it, experiencing going through these things, I just didn't realize there was a real purpose for life.
Did you see people on the other side who had committed suicide, and what happened to them?
I did see some people who had committed suicide, and I saw their spirits trying to communicate with their loved ones, because at one point, one young man, he was about 16, and I saw and was in my mind, I saw very clearly that they'd spend a lot of money on his casket rosewood casket, and the father was telling people around him, he's at peace now, he's at peace. Now, at some point, I'm not God, I can't judge with each person. But at this particular point, the young man was trying to tell him, don't say that, because he had friends around him that were thinking of committing suicide. And if it was good enough for him, it was going to be good enough for them. So he was trying to communicate with his father. And so I did see that with people who were suicidal, that they were very sorry. I can't say for everyone. There are people who they don't realize what they're doing. Maybe they've had really a tough time. I can't judge. Only God can judge. All I know is that it's worth making it through if we can. I know that there was a family after my near-death experience. They had a daughter, a granddaughter, and she was told she was bipolar and that she was going to be committing suicide and that she had no control over it. I said, oh no. And she did commit suicide. When they did her funeral, they had a whole chain of suicides after and wondered why. And I know it was because at the funeral, they said she was just automatically happy instead of making it out that there's a purpose for living and we all have the peace we have earned.
The question was, did you meet Jesus during your NDE?
To me, I absolutely believe I did. I have my personal knowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, filled with mercy, love, and grace. But in working with all people, even the atheists, and helping them to see, well, what if there is another side? And what if you need to do things right here? Now, if you just ignore it, you just do what all you want, you sin, you get over there and find out it counted, it's too late. But if you live your life as you should, as if God is real, helping other people, doing the right things, and you get over there and you find out it counts, that's marvelous. So we have everything to gain and nothing to lose. But I did, and I do know the Savior. I do believe in my own particular belief. But he loves everyone of all religions, of all wherever they are, and I certainly can't judge anyone.
And the question is, what was your life review like?
My life review had a lot of pain because I used to really want to be right. I thought all you had to do was come up with what was right and then some great justice took place. But what I discovered was that no, everyone really wants to be right. In fact, something I remembered on the other side was a poem. My mother and I used to argue because I thought she just wanted to know what was right. And then when I was on the other side, I found that I was to help her, but I remembered a poem on the other side. I think I remember it. I remembered it on the other side that put it in the book. Oh, mother dear, I sadly fear, until we die, we'll continue to try to argue and fight to prove who is right, although we both know I am.
Right, mom's always right.
But one of the things I discovered over there was I used to wonder why I didn't have better parents or something. But then I discovered she needed me. And if we can just, you know, one of the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. And the parents need us. Another thing I was shown is how people could have 9 children, but when they get older, they don't come to see them. They it's just, they don't know that what they give, so shall they may receive. It's just as God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's a reason and a purpose for us being here and being his hands and being the instrument in his hands to help others. And we will enjoy the benefits from it when we go to the other side. And I want to stay here. I have people tell me I have to stay another 10 years at least.
Well, okay. And you speak about dimensions. What are the dimensions that maybe help us understand what you mean by dimensions?
All right. On this level of the earth, there feels like a certain dimension. But having been to the other side and feeling the other dimensions, I don't quite know how to explain it, except knowing that I was in another sphere and that you can move from different spheres. You can see different things as fast as you can think. We don't need to put a rocket on our back to travel, but as fast as we can think, and everything is now. And I was just shown so many different things, which most of it is covered in my first book. In the second book of the and God's Heavenly Answers, which by the way, on hopedoctor.org Yeah, so I just want the message out. The books are free. I want people to go there, get the books, and be able to share the message to others. That's Hope, HOPEDR.org, HopeDoctor.org. And I want to interact with people. I want to share the message. I've covered a lot of these things in those two books, which are available there for free. And then please help share the message. Life is so short. It's too short to be angry. It's too short to hold grudges. We need to listen to help everyone. Everyone is at their own level of growth. So if we are more patient with others, instead of expecting them to think and feel as we do, then we can grow and learn better ourselves. We can be a helping hand better. So there's a purpose for all of these things. And it's interesting in other spheres of coming back, because I'm sure you've heard the others with the near-death experience. This is not the real world. You know, there's other things that I have that maybe we'll get on the website. Like the energy is different coming back. There's a whole different energy field. And like I can, when I'm up and excited, I can bend the fork. But I have to really be feeling, I don't know if you can see the spoon or fork. And a spoon. But anyway, but it has to be something I'm really feeling, the energy. Then I can just pet that where that connects to the end of it. And it'll just wrap like spaghetti. But there's many different things that we take for granted here. But there is a lot on the other side that we can look forward to if we do the right things here. So it's worth it. But we all have talents and gifts. But different ones who come back, they have different talents and gifts. It's interesting to see. I certainly enjoy mine.
Well, okay. Here's an interesting question. You know, you have people who get depressed and they ask, did God give you any suggestions on how to handle the depression and all the negative self-talk that makes it hard for us to see the person that we truly are?
You know what? That's a very good question of how to overcome depression. And one of the main things is another book I'm working on, that a program we have that we don't speak, The Power of Positive Belief. Change your self-talk, change your life. Because it's a matter of programming the mind to think different. If we keep our minds on, we attract to us what we're thinking about. And we can change our thinking for more positive thinking. It's just like a magnet attracts our iron filings. What we hold in our mind and think about is what will come to us. And I'm very well aware of that, even more so after being on the other side, because as we think and feel, it's amazing what it attracts to us. So in overcoming depression, which is not necessarily easy, but yet it is, and that is make sure you don't watch TV at night, be around positive people, keep your mind on what you want off of what you don't want. And as I was told on the other side by God, when I was asked, what did you do with what you have? Oh, and I started to give excuses, all of these different things. No, what did you do with what you have? So as someone's feeling bad, if they'll concentrate on what they have and then believe and prayer, because faith, sometimes we have to pray to have more faith, but faith works, faith precedes the miracles. And we all have many more miracles than we realize till we get to the other side and see that we do. But there are many different stages of thinking and feeling. In fact, we have a program. I'm just wanting these things to get out as much as I can. But in the book, it shows how learning why you sleep and how I did that. I overcame. I never had confidence. I never had confidence. But once I did the sleep learning of learning why you sleep and replacing negative thinking with positive thinking, it just became like a new person. And then as I went to the other side and found that I am the same person, it's worth being here to become the best person we can for eternity. And some of the questions, but I'd like.
There are. This person asks, how much can those on the other side communicate with us? Apparently there is some communication. How do they do it?
You know, that's really interesting. As I told you, anything we've not said is not said. Anything's not written is not written. But they are trying to reach us. When someone leaves someone, like I work with people who have grief. And one of the things is they need to learn to use their own limited earth time, because we none of us know if we'll have it tomorrow. But if they would tune in and listen to what the loved ones are saying to them, they would be telling them that as to how to use our time more wisely. And especially those who ended their lives that didn't want that. Their family is grieving over them. If you would listen to make the the most of our own time, but they are trying to communicate to us, and they become our mental, spiritual leaders. And if we tune in, but it is very hard. That's one of the most difficult things. While I was on the other side, one of the great ache and pain was that I wanted to connect to my children. I wanted to tell them the importance. You're the same person. Use your life wisely. Get your education. Be forgiving. Listen to everybody. Everybody's at their own level of growth. Be patient. And I wanted to communicate, but it was over. So the more that we learn here and share the positive good thing, instead of getting into an argument, because life is just too short to be arguing or hold grudges. And I hope to be able to not have any grudges and be forgiving, because I want forgiveness when I go over there, and mercy. And I had to have done it here. So sometimes I say, oh, that was a great opportunity to be forgiving, or depression. It's a matter of keeping your mind on what you want and off of what you don't want. And that can be done.
So another asks, everyone on the other side appears busy and working. What are they doing? Excuse me.
Well, I maybe didn't see all of that. I just saw the things that were relevant for me. And I didn't have a chance. I was aware of the endless people over there. But I was so caught up in what was pertinent for me that I really can't tell you what all they were doing. So I really don't know their speculation. But I do know they are trying to communicate here to tell their loved ones and their people of how important it is to become a better person, to use our time wisely, and to eat the right things, to be able to have health and strength, and to be forgiving, and to study and to learn, because the mind expanded by a new idea never goes back to its original size.
Another question, do we get multiple lives?
You know, for me, my personal belief, I don't believe we have multiple lives. I don't know exactly what all of life is over there. I do know there is life after this life, but I know there are people who believe that they have multiple lives. But the one thing we do have in common that we both agree on is how important now is. I had a good friend, and he believed he was Martin Luther, and he thought that I was Prince Freddie that saved him, so he used to call me Freddie all the time. But the main thing is, how important is it we use our earth time here? Also, on people who believe that there are multiple lives, it's amazing how many people are alive right now that believe they were Cleopatra, they were Napoleon. But the main thing is each of us to use our own time wisely, become the best person we can while we're here, and to make it through problems. It's not easy to go through problems. In the back surgeries, I mean, I've had the pain. I know what it's like. But I also know that if we can keep on our minds what the benefits are at some point, we can make it through.
And you had a diagnosis of ALS. And how has that affected your life?
Made me very, very grateful for life. And also made me very aware that because the body, and learning how the body works, you give it the right building blocks and then you overcome things. And it just helps me to want to be a lot more careful with my own body of taking care of it. And then wanting to share with others of knowing that we have the healing ALS on .org and the people that are having ALS, but what works for them of correcting the diet, getting the body the right building blocks can work for everyone. Heart attacks, avoiding cancer. There are those illnesses that come upon us, but many times there are things we can do to overcome it with the natural ways. And so that's just an important thing to learn what's good for our body and take it in and realize to be careful with it. Not to open things with your teeth because the teeth are precious and they can break, but just many things. We need to take care of our bodies. Like I told you, I used to really hate my body. I was really big into thinking it was dragging me down. Oh, if I had a better body. And now I'm just grateful to have a body. After I came back, I was very grateful to have my body. And when I was down ill, I remember seeing my cat walk around and thinking how blessed she was because she could get up and walk around. I was very ill before I died and my body was not working. But I realize now how special it is to have a body. Even if I have to have a power chair to get around, even for whatever things that I can't see or can't do, it's what can I do that matters and who can I help? Because we are the same person over there. We are here. And I'll be probably sharing my messages when I do go over there. But in the meantime, if people here would tune in and listen, what are their loved ones trying to tell them? Because we will see our loved ones again, and we will see our pets again.
And a question about time. Apparently, time's different on the other side than here. How does that affect how things happen on the other side versus here?
You know, I'm not sure how well it happens, but I discovered that everything is now, and I've had like Dr. David Allen, one of the top scientists in the world, and he used to be in charge of the atomic clock, and he says that's exactly right, and he's very expert on the different spheres, on the different dimensions, many ways, but scientifically, everything on the other side is now. I don't understand exactly, but everything is now because we're back in this world, which is totally different. This is not the real world. And I'm sure the others who've had their near-death experiences realize that too. This is not the real world.
Did you see anything from, say, a view of the future, for example? The next question.
You know, I wish I had seen more of the future, but I have to have the faith of everybody else to just know that all we can do is this moment right now. And so that's all that I can tell anyone is I do know that I saw about the world's history to the extent that we are all born at this particular time. We did have a premortal existence. I don't know all that much about that, except we did have a premortal experience, and we are all here for the purpose of learning and growing and helping each other.
Okay. One that's a very pertinent question for today. Any insights on COVID?
Oh, that has really been a big challenge for all of us. It really has. And I've been very blessed. I have not had it yet. But I also know there are things we can do to help our own immune system. Because why doesn't everyone get it? And some get it. It's because of our own immune system. So that's a specific thing that I felt in. And naturally, I do want to be careful with it. And I have an ionizer that I wear around my neck that gets rid of different viruses or things around us, whatever. But a lot of it's faith. And I don't know. But COVID has been a big challenge for more people wanting to give up. But also, for everything wanting to give up, that means there's that many more needed to help them through the problems.
Well, Dr. Brown, thank you so much for your presentation, and it was wise to leave most of the time for questions and answers.
Books, and if you go to the website hopedoctor.org, they're available. And look forward to the messages that I receive. And we have our prayer on Saturdays, and it's on the internet. Just dial in, no codes or anything. We have about 20-25 people and hope that to grow, because we're trying to get people how to have an awesome day. And my daughter reads it. We have sometimes someone else who reads it. But the way to have an awesome day is to help someone else have an awesome day. So I invite anyone to join us on Saturday. It's at noon Pacific time. And right at noon, a minute or two before, a minute after, we have how to have an awesome time. We do the meditation and a prayer, non-denominational prayer. And we're getting some miracles, because as we believe, so shall we receive. There are many ways out there that help us. There's the tapping that helps us. There's self-hypnosis. All hypnosis is self-hypnosis. But it comes down to learn while you sleep.
Robert, when your number's called, Jerry said that DJ Jones is out. And a walk-on has made every bit of the opportunity. Certainly has. This offensive line has helped with that. Really, outside of the...
Sorry about that. Somebody forgot to mute themselves, apparently.
Okay.
Joyce, I have a question. This is Polly Soren.
Yes. You know, I didn't come in person, so I wasn't able to bring your CD with me.
Well, anyway, what I wanted to say was I made a handmade gift of love for you. And so do you have a post office box, or how can I get this, what I made for you?
Yes, at 450 Hillside Drive, number A224.
Just a minute.
You know what? It's on the website too.
Oh, okay.
It's on there, because thank you so much. And I wanted to bring your CD for you, because I'm just really excited that you want to learn while you sleep, because you can learn while you sleep.
Yeah, well, I'm still interested in this, but I wanted to mail you what I wanted to get you what I made for you.
Oh, thank you. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm so looking forward to hearing from many people. Please get in touch. And it has the 800 number on there. You can call me at the, I believe it's 888 Dr. Joyce, but leave the email at
that one.
At Hope Doctor, you know.
That's gold and silver.
HopeDoctor.org. You get on there, you'll find a way to reach me. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
Well, Dr. Brown, thank you so much for addressing us today. And you have some important messages, and this is a great opportunity to share them.
Can I say one other quick thing? And that is, believe in miracles, expect miracles, and be a miracle for someone else.
May I say something, interject here with a question for Dr. Joyce, because they think this is important for everybody to hear. When you visited your life review, the things that you were truly sorry for that may not have been good things in your life.
Oh, that's an important one.
Please tell them what that was like.
Oh, you know what? The things that I didn't, that is very important on repentance. It's so important. Now is the time to repent and prepare to meet God. And at that time, I was so sorry over all of the different things that I had done wrong. But it's so important to know that when I came back, when I touched my face and I wasn't that wispy being anymore, and I was back in my body, I was amazed. The things I had repented for were not in my life review. So it's very important to be forgiving of ourselves also. The things I had repented for were not in my life review. So know that. It's important to know that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, with that great message, thank you very much for speaking to us today. And we'll close the meeting. We'll have our next meeting in January. And you have meetings quite often, but we're just talking about our local alliance group.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Joyce. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. And the other things I haven't covered for whatever reason, you know, I had some handouts to show you, some leaping ice cubes, different things that can happen over there with the energy coming back. But we'll get together. Hopefully we'll have some more information on the website. Maybe we'll come back another time and speak with you and do more. But this has really been interesting. And thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And we
thank
also
you.
I was planning on coming in person and then got the information COVID changed so we couldn't come live. And so thank you for this opportunity.
You're welcome.